वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो ओम विष्णु बनाय कृष्ण प्रसाय बुद्धले श्रीमदि भक्त वेदांत स्वामी नीति नमने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पाश्चात देश चारणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सरस्वती गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 29 वर्स 17 Ta dris antikam ayata Bhagavan Raja Yoshita Avadatta Vadatam Shrishto Vacha Peshayat Vimohayana. Ta, them, drishva, seeing, antikam, nearby, ayata, arrived, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, of Raja Yoshita, girls of Raja, avadat, he spoke, avadatam, of speakers, shashta, the best, avacha, of language, peshai, with decorations, vimohayan, bewildering. Translation, seeing that the girls of Raja had arrived, Lord Krishna, the best of speakers, greeted them with charming words that bewildered their minds. Purport, having established the spiritual nature of the gopis' love for Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami proceeds with this narration. Text 18. Lord Krishna said, O most fortunate ladies, welcome. What may I do to please you? Is everything well in Raja? Please tell me the reason for your coming here. Purport, Lord Krishna knew perfectly well why the gopis had come. In fact, he had called them with the romantic melodies of his flute. So Krishna was simply teasing the gopis by asking them why he would come here so quickly. Is something wrong in town? Why have you come here anyway? What do you want? The gopis were Krishna's young lovers, and therefore these questions certainly bewildered them, for they had responded to Krishna's call with the simple mentality of enjoying conjugal love with him. Text 19. This night is quite frightening, and frightening creatures are lurking about. Return to Raja, slender-waisted girls. This is not a proper place for women. Purport, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has written the following charming commentary on this verse. The gopis thought, alas, alas, even after shattering our family responsibilities, our sobriety and our shame, and enjoying us day after day, and after now dragging us here by the sound of his flute, he's asking us why we have come. As the gopis cast sidelong glances at one another, the Lord said, if you try to tell me that you have come to get night-blooming flowers to use to worship God, and that is, it is these flowers you are looking at with your sidelong glances, I will have to reject your excuse as unacceptable, since neither the time, place, nor persons involved are appropriate. This is the Lord's meaning in the verse beginning, Rajani. He might have said, even though there is abundant moonlight, This time of night is very fearsome because many snakes, scorpions, and other dangerous creatures too small for you to see are lying beneath the creepers, roots, and twigs. Therefore, this time is unsuitable for gathering flowers. And not only the time, but also this place is unsuitable for you to gather flowers because at night, terrible creatures such as tigers are abroad here. Therefore, you should go back to Raja. But the gopis may object. Let us just rest for a few minutes and then we will go. And then the Lord might reply, women shouldn't remain in this kind of place. In other words, because of the time and place, it is wrong for persons like yourself to stay here even for a moment. Furthermore, by the word Su Madhyama, O slender-waisted ones, the Lord implies, you are beautiful young girls and I'm a beautiful young boy because you are all very chaste and I'm a brahmachari as confirmed by the words Krishna Brahmachari in the Sruti in Gopal Tapani Upanishad. There should be no fault in our being in the same place. Nonetheless, the mind can never be trusted, neither yours nor my own. The Lord's inner eagerness thus hinted at is obvious if we read his words between the lines as follows. Out of shyness, you cannot tell me the reason you've come. Then don't speak. I already know it anyway, so just listen as I tell it to you. Thus the Lord speaks the words beginning, O Rajani. The following statement by Krishna is based on an alternative meaning of the verse derived when the Sanskrit words are separated in a different way. The alternative separation, according to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, would be Rajani Esha Agora Rupa Agora Sattva Nisevita Pratiyata Vrajam Na Hi Iha Shrestayam Stribi Sumajama. Through Srila Vishnu's commentary, Krishna now explains the meaning of this division of words. The pervasive moonshine has made this night appear not at all fearsome, and therefore this forest is populated by harmless creatures such as deer, agora sattvai, or else by animals such as tigers that are harmless because of Vrindavan's naturally nonviolent atmosphere. Consequently, this night should not frighten you. Or else, Krishna may have meant, you should not be afraid of your own husbands and other relatives because the night being populated by fearsome animals, they will not come near this place. Therefore, please do not go back to Raja Na Pratiyata, but stay here in my company, Iha Stayam. The gopis may ask the Lord, how are you staying here? The Lord answers, with women. But you are satisfied to keep just any women in your company? The Lord replies to this with the word Sumajima, meaning only women who are young and beautiful, who have slender waists, namely yourselves, should stay here with me and not others. Thus we can appreciate that Krishna's statements are full of considered as well as neglectful sentiments. Krishna's words are certainly brilliant because, according to the rules of Sanskrit grammar, they may be understood in either of two opposite ways. In the first case, as translated above, Lord Krishna continues to tease the gopis by telling them the night is dangerous and inauspicious and they should go home. But Krishna is simultaneously saying exactly the opposite, namely that there is absolutely no reason for the gopis to fear coming to the Lord, that the night is quite auspicious, and that the girls should under no circumstances go back home. Thus, Lord Krishna simultaneously teases and enchants the gopis with his words. So in verse 19 we have this statement, this night is quite frightening and frightening creatures are lurking about. Return to Vraja, slender-waisted girls, this is not a proper place for women. So it was stated two verses before here, we have Vatsa Peshai. The Lord bewildered the gopis with the skill of his words. And it says he's Varatam Shrestha, he's the best of speakers. So he makes a whole series of verses here lecturing to the gopis. And that reveals the nature of his skill of words. This, of course, is also one of the qualities of the Supreme Lord, that he is expert at speaking. And he's also very, very clever, so that his words can have several meanings. And discussing the qualities of the Supreme Lord, the 64 qualities, then illustrations are given of his skillful use of speech, etc. And in the Ujjwal Nilamani, there are a whole analysis of the different types of speech he uses, involving, how do you say, what we call puns, where a word may have two different meanings, and statements that can be taken in the opposite way due to the way we analyze the grammar, etc. So, in this way, he uses a skill of words to joke with the gopis often. In this case, it doesn't appear as a joke at first, because he seems to be a little bit serious, and he seems to be discouraging them from coming to the place after they've hurried there. And instead of welcoming them in a very wonderful way, he starts talking about how it's so dangerous at night and the place is full of wild animals and you should go back home, huh? You should go back home and don't stay here because of the nature of the forest, etc. So that's the superficial meaning, the normal meaning we would take of these words. And of course that itself can be taken as joking in itself, that he actually doesn't mean this, but he's actually playing with them by trying to discourage them, and when he sees that they're very sad, then he will say that actually I didn't mean this. But then at the same time we have that the words can be taken in another way. And actually even the gopis can think of this, think of that the words are have another meaning. This is the meaning that Krishna intends, and then later the gopis can reply by saying that his words have a different meaning. And argue back, they can argue back to him by saying, no, didn't mean this. And you're saying that the place is not ferocious or dark or frightening, and the animals are not frightening, etc. So in this way, there's a little bit of competition between the gopis and Krishna also. So the superficial meaning, of course, is that the night is very fearsome. And this is, of course, something normally we can say that it's nighttime is dark, etc., and we don't know what's in the forest at nighttime. Could be, you know, dangerous creatures there, as it said here, Gora Sattva, lurking at night. There's dangerous creatures there, etc. From the point of view of safety, yes, it is proper to advise the young gopis that they shouldn't be here in the forest because of such things. But on the other hand, we know that that was the full moon, so it was not so dark after all. And we already have seen descriptions of Vrindavan, and there was no description of fearful animals. There were no tigers, there were no lions, there were no bears, there were no wolves, there were no foxes, no descriptions at all, ever. And then suddenly Krishna's saying, oh, now there's some fierce animals in the forest that come out at night. And so it's a little bit strange that he would say this, just suddenly now. So in that sense, he's deliberately discouraging them in this way by making up these different excuses. And we saw in the first verses of this chapter how the night itself and the autumn season with that full moon acted as a stimulus or udipana for the love of the gopis and Krishna. It was a stimulus for Krishna. He thought, oh, this is the ideal time and place. So from that we can understand that here his words actually don't mean this, because he himself was thinking that this is the ideal time to have the Ras Lila in the forest. So naturally, there could not be any obstacles, unfavorable things in the form of wild animals, etc., and darkness, etc. The Lord would make proper arrangements so that everything was peaceful and safe, etc. Therefore, we can understand his words are not so serious after all, simply because of his own initial intentions. And furthermore, he played his flute intentionally to call the gopis. And the gopis, of course, understood this. So after he calls them, why does he not welcome them, but rather tell them to go back home after he called them intentionally? So in this way, we can understand that he was joking trying to make them look disappointed, and then after that, accept them. Therefore, we don't take these words so seriously ultimately. But from the, say, the conventional point of view, these are words that a person would utter for the considering the safety of the gopis. Now, of course, not only this we find, but later on we'll see that there are other factors involved, such as leaving the parents, and leaving the husbands, and leaving the children, and leaving the duties, etc. And Krishna will also criticize that later on. So it's not just the setting, the circumstances here, but other things as well. He will criticize more seriously. So those actually are more serious things that have to be considered. This itself is not so serious. Anyway, he starts out in this way by criticizing these things, or criticizing the gopis for coming in the dangerous time, etc. So the nature of Sanskrit language is that we have something called sandhi, or joining of words together. And the words get joined together, particularly vowels get joined together, and they make a single word out of several words about when the vowels are the same or slightly different. They join together and, like that. At the same time, another particularly the a sound. If we put two a's together, it becomes a long a. But then the word a in itself is a negative. Then it's impossible to tell whether that long a is a negative or a positive. We have asha gora, asha gora, asha agora, or asha gora. It's the same word, actually, asha, long a. It could be asha gora or asha agora. So it could be it's a very fearsome night or it's not a fearsome night. So that's the nature of Sanskrit language, and therefore this is often taken advantage of by Krishna, and even other statements we'll find sometimes when the demons speak. And they criticize the Lord, like Hiranyaksha criticizes Varaha, and then his words are met as criticism. But then we can take the opposite meaning because of Sandhi rules, etc., so that it's a praise of the Lord instead. So it means the opposite, because we can do things with the Sandhi like this. So of course it's unintentional on the part of the demon to praise the Lord, but it is said to be, we say, the skill of Saraswati. The goddess of speech, that she can make even the speech of the demon into a praise of the Lord. So that's unintentional on the part of the demon, but we could say maybe intentional on the part of Sukadev, that he cannot tolerate the criticism of the Lord, so the criticisms that the demons give of the Lord becomes a praise of the Lord also, simultaneously. So here, this is intentionally done by Krishna, in such a way that his words could have double meanings. And then if the gopis accuse him, then he could say, I didn't say that. I meant this instead. You can also say that. In this way, there's a little bit of a joke here. The words or sentences are cleverly constructed so that we get opposite meaning. So one meaning is there is discouragement of the gopis, and the other is that he is encouraging them. So he says, a very nice night, it's not fearful at all, it's very peaceful, and there's all gentle animals in the forest, because we have rupa, gora, sattva. So rupa, rupa is there, and then there's rupa, agora, sattva. Very peaceful animals are there in the forest at nighttime. And then he says, pratiyata rajam, go back to raja. And then he says, na iha stehim, don't stay here. But then we can take the negative and put it the other way around, na pratiyata rajam, don't go back to raja and stay here. We take the negative and put it with the first statement and not with the second statement. So, and this way we get a completely opposite meaning of the words. Talking about the women being sumajama, very beautiful women with slender waists. So the first meaning is that they shouldn't stay because they are young women, and it's dangerous for them because they cannot protect themselves against the wild animals in the forest, etc. When we take the positive meaning that they should stay there, and they shouldn't go back, then the meaning becomes they should stay because they're highly qualified for Krishna. Only the most beautiful women can participate in the Rasa-lila with Krishna. So in this way we have the meaning of the statement taking in a completely opposite way by the skill of Krishna's words. So this is also... The use of skillful words is one of the, we can say, the anubhavas in Madhurya Rasa particularly, though it may take place in other rasas as well, particularly in Madhurya Rasa, in the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, we will find often exchanges of words in a very skillful way. And this creates further taste to their relationship by the way in which they can use words to have opposite meanings, etc., and double meanings. So this is an example of the whole section here where Krishna begins to talk to the gopis and on one hand discourage them, on the other hand encourage them, is an example of the anubhava, which increases the final taste of the rasa. It is said that the path of Madhurya Rasa is crooked like a snake. Its progress is not always straight. We'll see in Dasya Rasa, generally there's no interruption. Servant is always a servant, and he is always obedient to the master, etc., and continues in a very fixed way. Here in Madhurya Rasa, the progress is crooked. Why? Because the sentiments that are expressed either by Krishna or the gopis are such that sometimes they reject each other. So here Krishna rejects the gopis. And later on, the gopis may reject Krishna, like this. So in this way, but it is not serious ultimately. It is part of the interaction that takes place within Madhurya Rasa in order to increase the taste. And this is, we can say, an example of that, these different types of joking. This creates a little bit of discouragement on the one hand, and then there is a opposition by the gopis, argument back and forth, and finally Krishna agrees. So in this way, the progress of the love looks a little bit crooked. There's many interruptions or obstacles to the progress of Madhurya Rasa. So that is the very nature of Madhurya Rasa, that there will be all sorts of things like this, sometimes expressed through the joking words in this way. And we'll find whole sections of the different dramas like Lalita Madhava, etc., or Don Kaley Komodius. All this joking taking place all the time, joking words. Or in, what is it, the Muktacharita, the story of the pearls again, a whole series of arguments and jokes, etc., take place, in which there is the path is very crooked, so to speak, because of the nature of Madhurya Rasa itself. So this is, you can say, the one example of that at the beginning of the Rasa Leela. Later we find that then Krishna agrees, okay, you can stay here, and then they have pastimes. And then he disappears again. So then there's another interruption again. And then later he appears again. And then they finally have the Rasa Leela. So like this, there's several interruptions on the one in the one night to the progress of the Rasa Leela until it's finally concluded at the end of the night. No, it's obviously he doesn't, because he called them, so that's his main, that's the main thing. So this is a play. It's teasing them. Yeah. Later on, after Krishna disappears, and then he comes back, then the gopis are a little bit angry. Why did you go away like that? So again, and then of course he says, this was, I wanted to see the intensity of your love. And in separation, and then the intensity increases. So when he discourages them in this way, then they don't go back home. So it's we can say a test in one sense. They don't go back home, and they are disappointed, but they refuse to leave. Their love for him in no way is decreased by his discouraging words, etc. And then finally, he agrees to accept them and agree to whatever they say. So we could say it's a test also. It's also just as Krishna jokes with Rukmini. And he says, oh, I better leave. I'm very unqualified. And then she faints like this. So then he gets a little worried. He says, oh, I was just joking. I just wanted to see how attached you are to me, etc., like that, see your love for me. So similarly, Krishna here, he's just testing them, seeing if they really love him or whatever, and he wants to see their different moods that are displayed when he discourages them.
So joke is a part of prema, we can say. Joke, whatever Krishna is making here.
Yeah, it's a joke, a teasing them. But this is, of course, the first meeting, in one sense, direct meeting. So for the gopis, it's a little bit, you know, they're a little bit unsure, a little one sense. So they're wondering, is it a joke or not a joke, maybe, like that. Well, we see that the end of this, at the end of this thing, we understand it is the gopis respond to him also very cleverly, and then he agrees. So they also understand that it is somewhat of a joke ultimately. But we see that the very introduction is that Krishna was eager for having the Rasa Leela. So therefore, and then he especially called the gopis with the flute. So therefore, obviously, this cannot be too serious, because the very setting was to introduce the Rasa Leela and Krishna's eagerness.
So sometimes people may, like a newcomer, that was also telling many instructions to Arjuna. It can be a different type, not serious. Let me take it in a different way.
Well, we have to take the context of the things. Like here, the context is the Rasa Leela, and ultimately, after calling them, etc., and then they had the Rasa Leela. So we see ultimately it was not that he was serious about this, telling them to go back at all, because they were the most qualified people. And later on, he glorifies them as being the ultimate devotees. And he cannot repay them in any way. So they get the highest status of all the devotees. So therefore, all this has to be taken as a mere joke. In other discussions, of course, we don't see much joking at all. The whole Bhagavad Gita, there's no joke at all. All throughout the Bhagavad Gita, it's a very serious thing. So the context will determine how we take the words. That's all. So we'll see that all the acharyas, when they comment on this whole section, they understand this and they give the different alternative meanings to the words, etc.
Can you say that just, you know, by telling Krishna different, you know, words, like you're refusing them, or Krishna is just testing them, that is, how much these gopis love me, actually? Yeah.
In one sense, it's a test, but obviously, it's just like Krishna tests Mother Yasoda by showing the universal form in his mouth. In one sense, obviously, he knows they're going to pass the test. Mother Yasoda will never see Krishna as God, no matter what he does. So similarly, the gopis, no matter what Krishna says, they're never going to reject him. They're always going to be attached to him. But we can say Krishna does this just to see their different moods, one, and also to reveal to the people in general that they're very fixed in Krishna. And they've given up everything for Krishna, and they won't leave him. So it shows it will show the determination of the gopis. For outside people or whatever, other persons.
So we say that this, the love of gopis is the highest, because even Krishna rejected, still they didn't reject the Krishna.
Yeah.
Maharaj. When Krishna is disappearing, gopis usually they pray to Krishna in the round that Krishna has to come back to them, or just seeing the mood of gopis and the attachment to Krishna. Krishna is coming back again to the gopis, appearing to the gopis. When Krishna is disappearing in the scene, that gopis generally they pray again to Krishna, and they will ask Krishna to come back to them, or Krishna by his own will, he is thinking the gopis' attachment and he is coming back again.
Or? Oh, well, the whole section where he does disappear, there's a whole section describing their madness or insanity that resulted when they couldn't find him, which shows the intensity of their love. And then finally they couldn't find him, and the tracks, the footprints led into the deep forest, and very, very dark there. So they gave up that, and instead they went to the bank of the Jamuna River and they did kirtan, and calling out Krishna's names. And then Krishna appeared. Well, we said, in one sense, the whole incident is there to show the intensity of their love. And after he appeared, then he said, I wanted to see how much you love me. And then, of course, they showed symptoms of Mahabhava, etc. So then, obviously, in separation, so they passed that test in one sense. Of course, later he gives the reason that I wanted to show the world that you are the highest devotees. That I wanted to show the world that you are the highest devotees. So therefore, the greatest devotion is shown in separation. So then when I separated from you, you showed these the highest symptoms of Mahabhava. So therefore, this tells everybody in the world that you're the greatest devotees. So therefore, I did this to educate everybody else about your status as being the greatest persons. So that's the reason he gives.
Maharaj, can you interpret in different ways, like, you know, like when Krishna was with gopis, because of, you know, union, the gopi felt a little bit ahamkara like false ego, so Krishna disappeared immediately.
Well, he says that in relation to Radha, but obviously this is not material ahamkara.
Yeah.
It is spiritual, all spiritual. So to break the pride of the gopis, he may disappear or whatever. But this is not exactly the same pride as in the material world. It is part of their spiritual personality or whatever.
Or they are feeling that, Krishna is only with me. That made them proud,
So that is one superficial reason, we can say. One reason also. That each gopi thought he's only with me, so to break that type of thought, then he disappeared suddenly.
They're feeling that I'm so fortunate that Krishna is with me.